This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney, and for many U.S. service members, the transition back to civilian life can be tough for them and their families. The Veterans Coming Home Project, funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, aims to help close the gap between the military and civilians by encouraging conversations across the country and addressing the needs of veterans in their local communities. As part of the project, CET will hold a Veterans Coming Home Town Hall on August the 16th. Joining us to discuss some of the challenges returning veterans face and resources available to them are Employment Enhancement Program Veterans Employment Specialist with the Ohio National Guard, Sarah Meads, Veteran Student Affairs Manager and Assistant Director of Veterans Upward Bound at Cincinnati State Technical and Community College, Daryl Smith, and one of the co-founders of the Tri-State Veterans Community Alliance, President and CEO Dan Knowles. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Daryl, Sarah, and Dan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for having us.
So, Dan, how many service members are returning to civilian life each year?
Well, in our region, the tri-state region here, we have 146,000 veterans in total. Nationally, we know that about 250,000 are returning out of the military each year. From our standpoint, as we look at, we primarily track those who are just leaving the service after the post 9/11, and we've seen a 40% increase just in the last 3 to 4 years in terms of the numbers coming back. It's about 14,000 soldiers and sailors and Marines have come through since over the last 4 years.
Now, granted, Dan, not everybody struggles with making that transition back to civilian life, but for those who do, why is it such a difficult transition? Is it because it's just such a big shift in your life and what you've been used to?
I think that's a key part of it. You've been inside of a culture for any number of years inside the military culture, and you've developed some very close-knit relationships and friendships and dependencies in there. And when you leave the military, you're coming back into a civilian environment that even though you left that originally, you're leaving a very close-knit and mutually supportive culture into one that's much more individualistic and a little bit foreign to those that are coming out of the military.
I think, too, Sarah, part of it is that you've been used to having your housing provided for you, your food provided for you, services provided for you, and now all of a sudden that's not happening anymore.
Right. The significant change in pay from being either being on active duty or being deployed when the service members return home and they're finding the job market is just not matching their pay. It kind of breaks their confidence a little bit, and they, they're looking for something to kind of sustain their lifestyle, their homes, and their families, and it's not, matching up. So it's taking a little bit longer for them to figure out the exact fit for them, and sometimes it's even going back to college.
Daryl, from your perspective, why is the transition so difficult? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Sarah just mentioned it a lot of times. Part of the transition is going back to college. And as a college rep, we get those anxious, apprehensive veterans that come in and say, hey, I was told that I could, use my veterans benefits, and I'd like to try to, use them. And one of the great things about this new post 9/11 GI Bill is that it acts somewhat of a cushion for individuals getting out, and they get a stipend each month to help with housing to sort of kind of offset some of the challenges and expenses they're going to incur now that they're not getting those bennies in the military, like the housing and the food rations and those types of things. So this post 9/11 housing stipend gives them a little cushion. And then a lot of veterans want to reinvent. They was a truck driver while they were in the military. Now they want to, now that they get this education money, they want to try something different. So, and they come to me, and we walk them through that.
Dan, how difficult is it? You served in the military for 7 years. What was the transition back like for you?
Well, I transitioned out in the mid-80s, so that was some time ago. A lot has changed since then, but there are some similarities. And, I think that there's it's difficult for people who have not served in the military to understand what that environment is like. And so there's a lot of misperceptions, perhaps, of what the military, what service in the military actually means. A lot of that is fostered by what we see in the media. You know, many people's perception of the military is shaped by Saving Private Ryan or, you know, some of the online internet games and whatnot that you can play these days, and, you know, Call of Duty or whatever. And, you know, that's what their perception is. And that may be representative of a very small portion of those who have served in the military, but less than 15% of the military are actually trained and used in combat theaters, in a combat environment. And so there's a very, very large group of those in the military who did other things that are very, very relevant and representative of what others their age are doing in society in terms of the workplace.
Sarah, you know, a lot more females who are serving and make up a greater percentage of veterans these days. Can you talk about the challenges that they face getting back into civilian life?
I think it's significantly different for females than it is for males, and I'm just talking from a personal standpoint. You know, in society, and we're dealing with the changing of gender roles or equality and different things like that. You know, females are looking for equal wages and going back into the workforce more so than staying at home with the children. And I think for myself specifically, I was, you know, on the active guard community for more than 10 years and deploying twice. I had children. So, you know, maintaining that military career for so many years, in addition to, you know, having a family and wanting those things, that's what kind of led me to transition out. Now, being in the position as an employment specialist, I get to see the other side and kind of assist them in kind of making that transition. So as far as females, you know, they're looking for more, you know, long sustainable careers and getting their degrees, longer term military careers, and trying to manage both the family life and the military career.
But I imagine whether you're a man or a woman, that's part of the tough part of making that transition is reconnecting with your family.
Yes.
And reestablishing your role in the family.
Right. I mean, that was significant for me as well. I came straight home and was, you know, away from my kids for a year and had to jump right back into mommy and a little bit of confusion. My kids were a little younger at the time. So, you know, you get used to being away from them and having a normal life. When I say normal life, I just mean the responsibilities are taken care of. You know, your food is at a chow hall. You don't have to worry about who's cooking or where you're going to eat that night. So coming back and making those decisions for your family and for your children, it's especially being a single mother at the time. A lot of the females I see, they have that current situation, and they're definitely trying to either manage school, they're managing their employment, they're managing their military career and their families with, you know, small support. So the program that I'm a part of with the National Guard, we definitely assist family members, service members of all branches, so it's not just specific to the National Guard.
What do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions that civilians have about returning vets?
Well, I think there's a number of misperceptions. I think that many times they, as I mentioned earlier,
they assume you were in combat. Yeah.
Well, exactly, and they make assumptions about how you respond to leadership and direction and things like that. And I think that, you know, the military today has changed dramatically over the last couple decades in terms of teaching those serving to be much more flexible, much more adaptable, to think in a very different way, and to learn much more quickly. I mean, the people that are coming out of the service today are very, very quick studies in many cases. I mean, if you put them in a situation, they will figure out how to get whatever they need to done and to move on. And I don't think that was always the case in the past.
You know, Dan, I want to piggyback on something you said about the small percentage of individuals that were actually have combat military occupational specialties, in short, MOSs. And that shows up when, as a college administrator, A lot of veterans that come into the classroom are not combat. You know, they're not combat vets. They had administrative type assistant jobs. And so the misperception is from a college standpoint is that a lot of teachers, when a veteran shows up, oh, here's a problem. This individual must have suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and better watch out. Those different types of things. So, and that's not fair to the veteran. A lot of veterans. I was in the military for 22 years, and all in those 22 years, thankfully, I never saw combat. I was a stenographer for 9 years, and I was in recruiting command for the last 13 years. So, in those 13 years, I put a lot of young men and women in the military. Most of them were non-combat related. Mm-hmm. So there are some very serious misconceptions in the college, and that's one of the great things I like about Cincinnati State. I get an opportunity to educate our faculty and staff on some of the misconceptions when it comes to veterans.
Sarah, what do you think?
My definite take on the perceptions is kind of what Dan and Daryl have both spoke on. It's the PTSD, and it's what I see over and over and over again. Whether you've deployed or you've not deployed, maybe you've just, you know, done stateside missions or things like that, you're automatically lumped into having something wrong with you, or you're broken, or you're going to be taken away, or you're going to miss work, or you're going to, you know, not fit the bill for these companies. And I see, you know, that's definitely not fair. And even if there are some significant obstacles that a service member has to overcome, how are they supposed to function in our society and in our communities if, you know, the communities are not educated on what kind of service members, you know, they sacrifice their time and their lives to serve their country. And a lot of times they're not appreciated for those sacrifices and their service. So I think for me, one of the things that I definitely advocate for with communities and these companies that I can reach through community outreach is that specific aspect is maybe it's not PTSD. It might just be anxiety or a little bit depression, or we all have that. You know, I'm not say all of us, but even civilians or people who have never served before, it's something that affects many, many, many people. So it's not just specific to veterans or service members. So, you know, I just kind of urge people to educate themselves on the specific person that they are looking to interact with or to potentially hire.
And you bring up a good point, too. They have to be given a chance,
yes,
don't they?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and I think there's also some misperceptions, not just of the civilian society and employers about veterans, but veterans as well need to be educated in terms of the expectations, particularly in the workplace and what employers are looking for. And I think that's one of the other key challenges that we face in our organization is when a veteran or their family members come to us and say, you know, I think I want to do this or I think I need that. We'll sit down and talk to them and say, well, do you understand really what these employers are looking for, what skills, what backgrounds, what aptitude or attitudes they have? And frequently they don't because they haven't been exposed to it. So there's a education process that goes on both sides.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney, and joining us to discuss some of the challenges returning veterans face and resources that are available to help them Our Employment Enhancement Program Veterans Employment Specialist with the Ohio National Guard, Sarah Meads. Veterans Student Affairs Manager and Assistant Director of Veterans Upward Bound at Cincinnati State Technical and Community College, Daryl Smith. And one of the co-founders of the Tri-State Veterans Community Alliance, President and CEO Dan Knowles. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Dan, what about families, though? The transition could be a challenge for them as well, can't it?
Absolutely, yes. And many times families get left out of the discussion. We find that many spouses and parents or siblings of those who have are serving in the military, whether deployed or not, they don't really understand why or what's different about their child or their spouse when they come back from service. They sort of know that there may be some adjustment period, but they don't know what's normal. And what needs perhaps a little bit more proactive intervention. And so we tend to get a lot of those questions. And there's that education process and just making them aware that, number one, there are resources available in the community that they can reach out to and talk to and get some perspective on. And number two, that there are others in the community that are going through the same thing and might be able to offer some peer support. Those are two major areas of additional need to help families, particularly spouses and immediate family members, understand and adapt.
Well, tell us about the Tri-State Veterans Community Alliance.
The Tri-State Veterans Community Alliance is an independent, veteran-led nonprofit that helps connect veterans and their families to the services that are available to them within the Tri-State community. We serve 16 counties throughout Southwest Ohio, Northern Kentucky, and Southeast Indiana. And we work with over 100 different partner organizations throughout the community, and we'll sit down with the veterans, whether they're just returning from the military or even for many of the 146,000 veterans that are already in our community, and we'll sit down and talk to them about what their goals are, what they're trying to achieve in terms of transitioning back into the civilian community or transitioning to another level of employment or out of their education path into a job, and try to work with them to identify what resources they need, and then connect them to those resources and follow up to make sure they're getting those needs met.
Now, how long has the organization been around?
The TVCA was started in July of 2014. We spent the first year putting together our partner referral networks and making sure that we had the right services to offer people when they sought our help. Over the last year, we've served just over 325 veterans or family members directly, that is face-to-face in our Veteran In Processing Center, which is located at the CityLink Center on Bank Street in the West End, and another almost 600 people through our online web resource portal that they can access through our website.
And Sarah, getting back into the workforce, that's a big challenge for returning veterans and returning service members. What kind of services are you offering? What kind of resources do you have available?
I definitely assist all family members and as spouses as well. For any veteran service member, we also, through the National Guard, have the Warrior Support Program. So they provide resources for families who may need some financial support or any sort of possible resource. If they have any issues, they will contact their local region support, and they can link them up with any kind of local resource. In addition, we work together to, if they are underemployed or unemployed, we work to get them on their feet, and then we do try to help them get gainful employment. But as far as, a service member coming home, whether it's the dad or the mom in the family, there are reconnection workshops that are out there from the Red Cross. They do a great job getting families put back together. And there are lots and lots of partners that even my own, company, we definitely try to open all the doors we possibly can to get people in the right fit and the right resource for them.
How big of a challenge is this for veterans to get employment? Is unemployment a huge problem?
No, actually, our unemployment rate is lower than the national percentage. So, as in the veteran community, so typically, what I've been seeing is underemployment, and that's just where they have found themselves in a position where they're looking for something that's going to utilize their potential.
Or, like you were saying earlier, it's an issue of pay. They're working a job where they're not making as much as they're used to.
Absolutely. So then that's where, you know, the programs like Upward Bound that Daryl represents, those are things that I definitely push. And there are other programs, too, that are very useful. But I think that is a wonderful program. You know, if someone's trying to advance their education and working at the same time, we'll definitely stick with them as long as we need to get them into the right position and, you know, happy with their employment. And to sustain their families, mm-hmm. their lives.
And Daryl, tell us about Veterans Upward Bound, since Sarah brought this up. What is that program?
Well, back in 2007, Cincinnati State Technical Community College received a $5 million grant from the Department of Education to help veterans. And what that grant does is allows us to hire math teachers, reading teachers, science teachers, computer technology specialists to help veterans that are interested in going back to school. The great thing about the Veterans Upward Bound program is that it's institution neutral. What that means is that even though the program is housed at Cincinnati State, once a veteran feels that they're confident enough to move on, they can go to Northern Kentucky University, NKU, Xavier University of Cincinnati. They can go to a technical school. They don't have to go to Cincinnati State. But the purpose of the Veterans Upward Bound program is to get that veteran prepared. And there's a certain clientele. There is a target market that we have. They have to be low income, first generation college students. And we're only able to serve 125 each year. So it's important that we get them in, get them trained, get them out, so that we can continue serving. We have weekly information sessions at Cincinnati State to educate the veteran on some of the benefits, on how to use their education benefits. We talk to them about the Veterans Upward Bound program. These Veteran Administration, VA, information sessions are open to all veterans. And we have them every Thursday at 11:30, and we talk to them again about their benefits and some of the great benefits about being a part of the Veterans Upward Bound program.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation, and let's talk with Dave in Delhi. Hi, Dave.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a veteran from the Korean War, and I did a lot of combat. So, but what I saw when I came out is that I realized that the military should deprogram at least 2 months in advance before they're discharged, and maybe even more. And that deprogramming is because when you're in the military, I've got relatives that are in the military now, they're career people and so on, you keep reprogramming up, which is important. Now, when you come out of the military, you need to be reprogrammed up into civilian life. And that needs to be done. Now, the VA is doing very good in a lot of these areas. I've become active going to the VA often, but I've been a businessman, a professional motivational speaker, sales trainer, and all that. And I could see this in the eyes of veterans. They need to be deprogrammed while they're in the service. Now, when they come out of the service, I believe that we owe them at least 3 to 6 months of full pay because it is such a transition. I remember when I came out and I came home and I had, you know, you get the medals, you get all this kind of stuff. And the first thing I heard was, well, your vacation's over, now go back to work. And the next thing I heard was, you know, you're going to walk around that monkey suit for a while or you're going to get out of it. And then, you know, somebody said, were you gone? You know, all these kind of things. And you get hit with that.
Yeah, so you're saying the military needs to do a better job of preparing you before you leave for that transition back to civilian life.
They need to do it. They need to get into a motivational program that will deprogram the part that they have been programmed into, which is good. And we're having right now so many young people coming out committing suicide. That makes me sick. I try to reach all of that stuff. And I still keep active personally with a lot of this. And I would like to just, you know, volunteer straight out for a lot of people yet. I'm 86 years old, and I still see all of this problem. And we create it because we have the greatest military in the world. And when we send them back home, we're sending back to lights on, cars moving, no passes to get to this place and that place. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of stuff that needs to be transitioned. Now, the Veterans Administration has a great program called MOVE, and that's one I think that they should get into. Is you can go to the MOVE program, and you can bring a guest. And I've been in that, and I ended up getting way overweight. So far, I've lost over 60 pounds in 2 years.
Dave, let's get some comments from the panel on what you're saying, because you have a very, very interesting perspective on this, and we appreciate the call.
I'd like to just address the he had mentioned something about when a veteran gets out and the financial hardship. You know, one of the great things about the soldier that's getting out today, he or she actually gets the post 9/11 GI Bill that became effective on September 1st of 2001. That any service member that served during that time that gets out, in addition to getting their tuition paid, if they decide that they want to go back to school, they get a $1,600 stipend. They're going to go to school in this area. Apart from their tuition, this $1,600 is contingent upon the fact that they're a full-time student in school. And again, it acts as a cushion. Sort of could get back to when families get out of the military, that there's no longer the housing, there's no longer the separate rations with just the food rations money that those service members receive. There's no longer some of those guaranteed pays. So that $1,600 stipend sort of really acts as somewhat of a, hey, we can kind of get started a little bit. And because before the post 9/11 GI Bill, there was nothing. There was college money, but there was no stipend. They get a $1,000 book stipend also, but from an educating point of view, there is some money out there to help the veteran if he or she decides that they want to go to school. That I believe that the government is saying there is some assistance there for you.
And Daryl, what about the idea of, I'm not sure, maybe the military already has these kinds of programs in place now, but programs for helping you make that transition where they start introducing you back to civilian life a few months before you leave?
Well, they do. I mean, I think some branches of the service do it better than others. But when I was in the Army, there was, I think it was ACAS, I believe we called it, but it was a week of businesses coming in and talking to us about resume writing, interviewing, and different things of that nature. I don't think it does a really good job of actually preparing the veteran. I think it needs to be overhauled.
I'd absolutely agree with that. You know, the feedback that we get from those that go through the program is, you know, they either didn't get the information they needed or it didn't seem relevant to them at the time. And I think the Dave, the caller's
Dave,
comment about needing a transition program is absolutely right. And it probably needs to bolt on to what the military is offering and provide a community transition type of program. And you'll see that as one of the specific recommendations in our recently published community report from the TVCA. That's one thing that we see as a real need. And we're taking steps with a lot of our partner organizations in the community to set that up over the next 3 to 6 months.
Well, Daryl, Sarah, and Dan, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Employment Enhancement Program Veterans Employment Specialist with the Ohio National Guard, Sarah Meads, Veteran Student Affairs Manager and Assistant Director of Veterans Upward Bound at Cincinnati State Technical and Community College, Daryl Smith, and one of the co-founders of the Tri-State Veterans Community Alliance, President and CEO Dan Knowles. We'll continue our conversation, and you can join us, 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.